You are listening to episode 3 of the Backlog Exposed podcast, and this is Kevin, your host. Today is Friday, July 20th, 2018. Unfortunately, our co-host, Joe, is not able to make it today, as he may have broken his back. We are in the process of waiting to hear for more information on that, and, just as things are getting started here, we already have the bad news, and, we just definitely want to send our thoughts and prayers out to Joe and his family as they definitely are dealing with a pretty crappy situation right now. They were supposed to be recording the podcast a couple hours ago, and, I was texting him saying, "Hey, Joe, I'm ready," and I get a reply, not a reply, but I get a phone call an hour later, and that's a video of Joe in the hospital emergency room, brace on his neck, and he's not looking too good right now. So I just want everyone to think about Joe, and if you pray for him, if you think for him, and whatever else you do, just let's just hope he gets healthy, and let's hope it's not as serious as it sounds right now. Definitely going to need Joe to be here with me on this podcast for this thing to be successful, because he's got a hell of a voice for this stuff. And Joe, I know you're listening, so we're thinking about you, bud. That being said, we're going to get right into it because, the show must go on. So what you're going to hear today is an interview with my two sons, Jagger and Wesley. Something off the beaten path from your normal podcast, a perspective that you're not used to hearing. And that perspective is from your kids' minds. My kids are crazy. I'm sure it's not exactly the same as what your kids are like, but they're two boys. They're crazy. They're fun. They're hyper. They're energetic, and they got a lot of talking to do. One of the things that they love is this game called Roblox. It's the big craze. I don't know if it's fading in or fading out or where it's at in its life cycle, but my kids still love it. Wesley's just really getting started, and so I just wanted to give a little perspective. I know parents that deal with this stuff, they probably don't even care to ask the questions. And so that's a few minutes of, just about 5 minutes of talking with them about it. And, if you don't care, don't worry about it. We'll get right through it. If you do care, like I said, it's just a fun little segment to chat with my two sons. And Wesley's a ham. So, we're going to try to get Wesley and Jagger on more often, depending on the response we get from them. But they're good kids, so hopefully you enjoy that. Another thing that I want to point out here is, we're just really getting started here in this podcast, so we're going to have a format start to come together. Joe and I had an idea for today. Unfortunately, he's not available, so I'm just going to kind of wing it. This is a gaming podcast. We're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about UFC. We're going to talk about whatever, entertainment. We're going to talk about movies and TV shows and things like that. We're going to talk about it all, but primarily video games. And today I want to jump into a couple of topics that have come up, things that that interest me, and things that I'm going to kind of focus on. So first and foremost, this weekend, there is a huge Fortnite tournament, $500,000 solo tournament. And I just think, going off of the talk we had last week with Joe, earlier this week with Joe, it's really important to consider what life is going to be like in the gaming industry over the next few years. I mean, we're talking about $500,000 for a one tournament. The esports, the e-leagues that are happening, they're getting pretty serious. We're talking real money. And one of the things that I noticed watching some of these streamers is they're really complaining about the bandwidth capabilities of their computers and, the networks that they work on and this and that. And one of them was complaining that he felt he was getting DDoSed, and, he's in trying to prepare for this tournament, and here he is dealing with people attacking his router. And it's just a really interesting way to think about this. When you're talking big money, millions of dollars being thrown at this stuff, and these guys and these women and men are just, they're just playing video games, but, people are finding out information about their real lives. They're actually, the internet's a crazy place. It can be full of power, but with that great power, as they say in Spider-Man, comes great responsibility. And, some of these people, like myself, we're just getting involved. We enjoy this stuff. We're not looking for, we're not looking for negative press. We're looking for fun and enjoyment. And, you know, some people are actually doing this for a living. And there you go. Boom. People are attacking him. People are trying to stop. I mean, maybe that's not the case. Maybe that's not what's really happening. Maybe he's having an off day. But, I know that this stuff does exist. This stuff does happen out there. Once you start getting any recognition at all, people will find ways to mess with you. And, it's just unfortunate. If I could help deter anyone who's thinking about doing that kind of stuff from doing it, I mean, just think about this. These people are trying to make a living. You may not like them. You may not enjoy their stream. You may think less of them, but just go somewhere else. You know, just go. There's so many places you can go. There's so much information out there, so many videos and streams and movies and things you can do that don't require you to be such an asshole on the internet. Even if you're behind closed doors, and we're all guilty of it. You say something on the internet, you probably wouldn't say at home, to your family or to your friend, but try not to. If I could encourage you to not do that, you can't stop it. It's not going to stop. People are going to continue to be jerks, but I don't know. I just don't see the point of it. And I hope that this hits home for somebody who's thinking about being that way, and they don't, because this is just it's a very negative place to be. And if we're ever going to make it to, if you watch the movie Ready Player One, they call it the utopia. It's this world that they go to, or you might have read the book. It's this world they go to virtually. It's as if in the future we're going to be, putting on a headset, and that's the real world that we're going to be living in. You know, you go, you spend all your time and making your money, your coins or whatever, virtually on the web, over this virtual headset. You get your avatars, you get your characters, you buy new costumes and stuff, but really you're living in the slums and you just have a headset. I don't know if that's really the way the future is going to be, but if we're going to have an online reality place, an online virtual reality place that we can all really commingle, it can't suck, and a lot of people just want things to suck on the internet. I really, really, really hope that that we find a way through this. Because, with people trying to do good things, there's always someone trying to destroy it. And I just don't condone that. I don't see the purpose of it. And, there's always going to be those bad apples. Hopefully we slow that down here. The Backlog Exposed is really just going to be about talking about these games and getting the hype out there, talking about the games that deserve to be talked about negatively. We might do some fun things here and there when Joe's back. To mix it up a little bit, because I don't want to be just like a normal podcast. I don't want to just say, hey, here's a game. We like this game because they gave us a free review code. No. If we get free review codes, we're going to be honest when we get those free review codes. We'll mention it. We'll talk about, we got this for free. But at the same time, we're going to review the game just as if we paid for it full price, because that's the fair thing to do, because that's what most people will have to do. I want to get into a little bit about what this backlog thing is. So, for a very long time, I have purchased video games, even though knowing I don't have the time to play them. I fall into the hype. I see, stories. I read watch videos. I read articles on these games, and that's what I spend my money on. I enjoy it. So I'll see a game. A trailer come out at E3, and I'll say, okay, that's a game I'm buying from day one. A great example of this is, No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky is a game that has been talked about for years prior to its release, and the creator was on Conan and all these different talk shows, Seth Meyers, and there was so much hype about this game, and it came out. And it crashed. I mean, a lot of people just had nothing but negative things to say about it. And maybe rightfully so, right? If I tell you I'm selling you an apple, and I give you an apple with, no center to it, or, no insides, or something different. If I give you a banana, you're going to say, this isn't what I asked for. But then there's, to me, I played the game. I kept an open mind. I got the game, and I just said, this game is about exploring, and I can't wait to explore. So I threw my controller on and just started flying around. And yeah, there's a bit of a grind to this game. But what else is there? I mean, it's life, right? There's a grind to life. So to me, I got it. I mean, yeah, there were some things I could do without. But for the most part, I didn't care about the grind. The grind seemed to be okay because it was about experiencing new things. And I definitely felt like some of those new things were a little stale real quick. You know, some of the animals, you know, they're talking about, oh, there's billions of combinations of animals. But those billions of combinations are just algorithms. You know, the way that game works is everything is procedurally generated, which means it's basically a math computation. It does not exist in the world until you visit it, and then it computes that we're part of the world or part of the universe, and it's generated at that point. The game can have, you know, off the top of my head, I can't remember the actual terminology, but 18 quintillion or something planets, and there's so many possibilities, but that's just really a math equation, right? I could have a solar system identical to another solar system, but on that solar system, I have, you know, an elephant instead of a bear. And you know, and then on the next one, it's identical, but I have a gorilla instead of an elephant or a bear. Those are three different variations. And out of that, you can continue to do that until you have 18 quintillion. So what you get is a lot of these planets just generally kind of look the same. So as you're flying around No Man's Sky, you go to these planets, and a lot of them have the same weird, you know, structures, and every single one of them has animals or, you know, some type of monster on it, and those monsters tend to look pretty much the same. But to me, it was okay, because it was so different than most games I've played. I loved it. I put 60 to 70 hours into that game, and at the time of my life, you know, Wesley, my son, was pretty young, so, you know, he could just sit in my shoulder, or in my arm under my shoulder, and while I played that game, and Jagger didn't mind at all. He just sat there and watched me play it. It was like the time of my life. I was having so much fun with my boys just playing this game that was, you know, didn't require much thought. It was just about flying around, doing what I gotta do. And you know, some people hated it. Many people hated it. They shit on this game, like, right out the gate. To the point where the guy who created it, the guy who was on talk shows, the guy who put his life's work into this, went into radio silence. The guy didn't tweet. And next thing you know, everyone's making fun of him like he's some kind of bait and switch. And I don't know, guys. When you can hate this thing all you want, but this is this guy's life work. Yeah, maybe he tried to amp it up a little bit more. Maybe he did some things he shouldn't have. It doesn't make him a horrible human being. The guy put out a game. The game was revolutionary, regardless of how you put it or how you looked at it. And, you know, not every steak is going to be as well done as you want it to be. You just stop being those types of people who walk into a restaurant and expect the cook to be, you know, your personal chef exactly how you want it to be. You're not famous. You're not important. Come on. Just these people have things to do. This guy had a thing to do. He had to make some money. He had to pay his developers. His developers needed to get paid. They've been working their asses off for years for this game. And it just didn't quite deliver to the expectations, because we all know the videos you see at E3, the videos they show on TV with their commercials, just like a car, just like cereal, it's not the real thing. You know, back when I was a kid, they used to play videos on TV where, you know, they do like Mark Summers would do a 30-minute TV show where you could see the behind the scenes on commercials, and you'd see, you know, McDonald's would literally have plastic burgers or something and melt the plastic to make it look nice and shiny and put some cellophane wrapped cheese on it and put it in the microwave and some really crispy fresh lettuce on top of that with some, not, you know, something that looks like ketchup but really isn't ketchup. They'd put that burger together, and that's what you see in the picture. And then you're like, man, I really want that. And then you go to McDonald's and look what you get. I mean, even today, the McDonald's burgers, I'll eat them all day long. I love them, but holy crap, they look disgusting, you know? And no one complains about that. No one's throwing McDonald's under the bus every single day. They're going to McDonald's and they're eating it. So why do we do this to our video game developers? I mean, when there's expectations. We're paying $60, the $50, $40, $100 for these games. We're putting in time and effort. But whose fault is it, really? There's a whole problem out there with pre-order. People pre-order games and have expectations set before they see the real reviews. And there's politics behind these reviews. A lot of the video game reviewers, don't get to talk about games. They have an embargo, and you know that they can't even speak about the game negatively or positively until a specific date, and then they can talk their mind on it. They can talk about the game, but only along the stipulations that the company has given them. So, you know, these embargoes, these like, hey, you've played our game for free prior to its release date, and you've signed terms. Well, you know, when I worked at when I worked at the telecommunications industry, I got to try out cell phones before, you know, months and years before they came out. I wasn't allowed to go online and post about it. I get it. You know, but don't buy anything. If you're the type of person who's going to bitch and complain if you've spent money, don't buy it until you've seen real video of these games. And if your hype is higher than it should be, then adjust your expectations. Don't expect someone who's trying to make money, don't expect them to not hype their game higher than it should be hyped. They're trying to make money. That's what the industry's all about. Everywhere you go. And yeah, it sucks. It sucks that everyone's just trying to make money. But it's the reality that we live in. And this is America 2018. Walk down, go to New York City and tell me they're not trying to make money. The neon signs that are tens of thousands of dollars a piece or more, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for these giant LED or LCD signs that are blasting in your face. That's not there to just be pretty. It's there to get your attention and to hype up whatever's on that screen so that you buy it. And it may not be for you. So don't think every video game is going to be out there to meet your standards. And just try to have fun with some of this stuff. Try, you know, the No Man's Sky stuff is just, I know it's old news. It's years old. This is 2 years ago this game came out, and I was playing the hell out of it. But next week, they're releasing No Man's Sky Next. And it's going to actually include many of the features that people expected in the first iteration of the game. And, you know, I don't even have any clue if I'm going to jump in and play that. I have no idea. I want to. I don't know if I have the time and the mental capacity right now to jump back into a game I've already put that much time into. I'll probably download it and I don't know. But even just in the past past year or so, I know they've put a lot of changes into the game. They've added base building. They've added the ability to do more navigation and whatever. You know, they've added different game modes and survival modes and things. And I did throw it on for like 15 minutes and it kind of just reminded me that I put a lot of time into that game and I have other games to play. I have a backlog. And I feel like I've already completed that game. But now they're going to allow you to play with friends. That's something that everyone expected to be able to do in the beginning. And the guy said, Sean Murray, he's the creator of this game and the developer, lead developer. And he said, yeah, you know, it's very unlikely you're going to run into anybody. But if you do, yeah, you should be able to see them. Technically, there's multiplayer in this game. And that was the big thing that everyone got pissed off about, because guess what? This is the internet. Anything can happen. And I think it was within a week, not even, it was a couple days, and two people were posting on Reddit saying, hey, we were on the same planet at the same time and we couldn't see each other. Sean Murray's response was, it was meme-worthy, it was. He was like, holy cow, you know, whatever he said, I forget the quote, but that quote was used repeatedly in he couldn't, it blew his mind. I think it truly did blow his mind. Just the fact that two people met up in the same area. I mean, when you're talking 18 quintillion possibilities and, you know, there's only so many people on Earth, the chances of that are slim, but it happened. Maybe he lied about the multiplayer aspect. Maybe he didn't test it thoroughly. When you're in the business of building tools and games and applications and things like that, some of your people might say, yeah, I did this, and they might not have, you know, they might not have tested it properly. And maybe, you know, he's not the only developer. There's other people. So who knows? You know, we don't know the whole backstory, and he's not going to throw everyone under the bus. He's going to take ownership. He did. He revised the game, and now they have No Man's Sky Next coming out. I was personally hoping for a No Man's Sky VR. I think that game would be one of the most perfect games for virtual reality. I know this is a hot topic. It's been talked about many times, and it's been extinguished. A lot of people say, don't worry about it. It wouldn't even be worth it. It's not fun. It couldn't handle it. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't care. I would love it. I don't care what other people think. I think I would enjoy it. That's all. And, you know, hopefully someone hears this and makes it happen. But, you know, I know the reality, it probably won't. But the point is, a game like that, you know, you throw the headset on, you just lose yourself into this world. There's no real expectations. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can kind of fly around. And there's a game called Megaton Rainfall, developed by one guy. He put this together, and it's a virtual reality game on the Sony PlayStation. And it is unbelievable what you can do. It's a procedurally generated world or universe, and you can instantly fly around like a superhero. You know, you just kind of... You fly around, but there's missions in this game. You know, there's things you have to do, and sure, you can kind of meander and do your thing. It does get super stale super quick when it comes to originality, because everywhere you go kind of procedurally generates the same monsters and the same experiences and things. But it's just so cool that you can just pop yourself out of, you know, the region of America that looks like Florida, fly up into the sky, and then you see Mars, and you can head right towards it and be there in seconds. And, you know, I obviously, we don't have that skill set, that capability right now, that technology to be able to do something like that. But it gives you the idea of what it would be like, you know, boom, you're flying into space. And then next thing you know, you're flying out of the galaxy into, you know, the universe, and you're flying around, and you see other galaxies. This game gives you that. I would love No Man's Sky to give you that same ability within the virtual reality world. I think No Man's Sky is a more complete game, with more complete experiences, and I just would really love that. So I'm kind of done with that. I don't want to go into that too much deeper. Maybe Joe and I will talk about that later when he's better. But I know it's a game that he and I both played, and when I first met Joe, it's one of those games that we were both super hyped about, and we both got into it at the same time. So I'm interested to hear his thoughts, and maybe by the time we talk again, the game will be out, and we'll try it. It is a free update, so if it is a game you like, it's out on Xbox One, it's out on PlayStation 4, you know, grab it, update it, and give it a try if you've already purchased the game. Maybe you purchased it way back when and never played it. I know a lot of people did that, and I recommend you give it a try. All right, so one thing I want to point out, I did mention it in the first episode, I think it's a good time to jump into it right now, is any reviews I give, you know, if I tell you to buy something, if you don't have the money, don't buy it. You know, if you don't trust my word, don't take it. If I tell you this movie's good, it's my perspective and my perspective only. If Joe does the same thing, it's his perspective and his perspective only. We might tell you to do something. None of it is going to be forced. We're not making you buy anything. We're not making you watch anything. So we're not trying to waste your time. We're not trying to spend your money. But the point of this podcast is to give our opinions and talk about the games in our backlog. So what does my backlog look like? My backlog looks like this. I have several hundred games, some of them very, very small experiences, along with several very, very large games. Some of the newest games I have on my backlog are games like Detroit Become Human. I bought it. I did get it at a discount, and I am looking forward to playing it. I hear it's between 7 to 12 hours to play. So that's a game I plan on picking at here and there. Hopefully over the next few weeks I'll have some details as to you know, any reviews or anything like that. But I did play the demo, and that's why I bought this game. To me, it reminded me a lot of L.A. Noire, which is a fantastic game of kind of a choose-your-own-adventure. With a little bit of skill, you have to kind of read the facial expressions of the players and or of the non-player characters, the NPCs. And you have to make judgment calls. You're a detective, and you move up in a detective world. You know, this game is similar to that, to where every experience you encounter, you have multiple paths you can take, and it is like a choose your own adventure. And as you complete the level or the experience or whatever is going on, as a robot in a world of both robots and humans, you're trying to navigate through making decisions and. You don't know what you want the outcome to be. You know, in the demo, you're trying to save a little girl who's being, you know, dangled off the side of a building, and you got all these different things going on at once. You don't know if, like, you know, talking to the bad guy about his life will cause him to chuck the girl off the side of the building or not. But if you complete it successfully, at the end of the completion, you get a summary of, you know, the choices you made along with all the choices summed up that everyone made that has ever played this game. And you can kind of see how you compared to all the other players, whether or not you were in the higher percentile of people who chose option A, B, or C, or whatever. And it's pretty neat. I'm a data geek, so I love to see that kind of information as I play. And it is as you play, like after you complete each little mission. So that's something that really intrigues me, and I look forward to getting into that game. But any game right now that requires me to have, you know, multiple playthroughs and remember the story, it scares the crap out of me. And the reason it scares the crap out of me is because I just don't have the mental capacity right now to get into something. And, you know, I might not be able to get back into it for a few days. And then I have to stop and be like, where the hell was I? You know, what was going on when I last visited this game? A great example of a backlog game that I did finally complete is The Witcher 3. One of the best experiences I have ever seen. It's one of the best games ever, the whole story. But I played that game when it first came out. I played it very, very heavily for quite some time. And then I backed off. I forget what happened. Maybe another game came out or something. But I started playing something else. I never completed it. And, you know, here we are months and months later. And I'm like, let me see. I went back in and I had been playing a different game with a different control style. Witcher 3, if you've played it, it just has, different battle techniques, the different things you can do with the controller. And I'm not, you know, my hand-eye coordination ain't what it used to be. So, getting right back into it, just popping into it, I couldn't do the maneuvers. I couldn't eloquently play the game. And so I was frustrated and I backed out and I stopped playing that game. And I waited a year and I jumped back in a year later. And here I am playing The Witcher 3 to its completion. I trucked through the dealing with the controller, and I trucked through. I said, I'll figure out the storyline. I'll remember things. And it didn't take long, because a lot of these games, they help you through that. They remind you of what was going on before or whatever. And then your memory hits, and it's like, boom, oh, okay, I remember the Baron was doing this and that, and I had to save his daughter, and oh, yeah, that's right, I had that crazy alien baby thing, and, you know, it's like all this weird stuff comes hitting you, and, at the end of the day, I pushed through, I beat that game, and then I bought the expansion packs, because I was like, you know what, this game deserves, the developers are phenomenal, I want to play the expansions. But I'm going to play some other games first. So on my to-do list is to go play the expansions that came with The Witcher. I don't want y'all to think I'm super, super frivolous with my money. I do spend my money on video games, but I generally only buy games on discount. I'll buy a bunch of games on discount because I know one day I will play them or my kids will play them. But only certain games will I buy right out the gate pre-order. Because I'm not I'm not a stickler for, you know, if I spend my money and I don't like the game, it's not the end of the world to me. You win some, you lose some is how I look at it. But one of them that kind of stuck me hard was Call of Duty World War II. I'll tell you, I pre-ordered that game. Not only did I pre-order that game, I pre-ordered the $100 version of that game. You know, the one with all the expansion packs. And I played the demo, the beta. I was in the beta, and I loved it. Something about the beta, I just said, this is going to be the best Call of Duty experience ever. I skipped the last few couple of Call of Duties. I just felt like things got way too overdone with the jumping off the walls and, you know, the teleports and this and that. And I'm a big fan of the Call of Duty series back in the day, Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops, all those games. I played the heck out of them. And, I put way too many hours into those games. But I enjoyed them, and I always had friends to jump on and play with, and some of those guys, I miss playing with them because we had so much fun playing. Well, now you jump into this game, World War II, and I don't know. I mean, it was built well. It doesn't feel bad, but the maps just didn't do it for me, and the player base is just something about that player base. I mean, maybe I'm just getting way too old, but you cannot group with people. You can't. If you don't want to have a negative experience trying to talk with people in a game, it's very hard as an adult. who doesn't want to deal with, you know, these super childish, like super immature kids playing these games. And if there's one thing I will do, I will be damned if my kids ever act like that. You know, so far so good when it comes to talking to others. But I'm going to keep on that, because who the hell lets their kids act like this on these games? It really takes away from the experience. I would be playing Call of Duty probably more so than I did if you could get on group chat and just have a strategy with a group of people. But you try it. I dare you. Go on to any of these games, Battlefield, Call of Duty, Fortnite, and you try to come up with a battle technique. Half the people on there are just complete assholes. They don't even try to be decent. The other day I'm playing Fortnite and I just was doing random squads, and my gamer tag is Earl's Tees, and next thing you know, I just got people making fun of me. I mean, I didn't say a word. I didn't utter one word, and I got people making fun of my gamer tag. And why? Well, you're supposed to be my teammate. We're supposed to come in here and try to win this game together. And now I got somebody, you know, some kid who sounds maybe 14 making fun of me, and it's just like, you know, all right, you're muted. You're muted. Why do I have to mute everybody? I mean, I just remember playing some of these games with friends and having such a great time. I just don't understand why the majority of the people that I tend to run into in some of these games are the last people I'd ever want to group up with. And I just don't understand how they are like that, because how do they have friends? Maybe I'm old, but I just don't get it. Who would want to hang out with somebody like that? Parents, watch your kids. Treat them better so that they don't treat other people like crap. It's so weird that this is the society that we have. I mean, why do these people have to go online anonymously to hurt others and to make other people feel bad? There's no point in it. It doesn't make you feel better, does it? I mean, really? You might think it does, but no, it's a sad world. It's ruining gaming for me anyways, when you're trying to game with anonymous people. And some of these games require you to game with anonymous people. Some of these games require that you jump into a group if your friends aren't online, and you got to win a battle or something, and you need to coordinate. There's a game coming out called Firewall Zero Hour for the PSVR, another game I'm really excited about, and utilizes the AIM controller, which is that new controller for the VR. If you haven't played with that, I suggest you give it a try, because it is amazing. It's an amazing experience. They put it together really well, especially in Farpoint. We talked a little bit about that last week. But, I'm crossing my fingers that this experience is going to be the same, something as positive as Farpoint was for me. But in Firewall Zero Hour, it's the same thing. It's going to be 4-on-4, and you're going to be, trying to take out the other team. It looks in videos to me like Rainbow Six Siege, just a virtual reality version of that. A lot of people are hyping up about this game. I probably won't pre-order it, but I'll buy it if it comes out and it gets positive reviews, and I'll watch some videos. I'm gonna check it out for sure. So that's another one. But if you have to rely on a team, and that team is just full of kids who are complete assholes, then, you know, the game's gonna bomb, because I just don't understand how people coordinate and do these things. What's the point of playing a game if you can't do it? So grow up, kids. Grow up, play the game, try to win, have a, you know, successful endeavor in these things, and life will be better, I promise. You know, if you open up the world to the positive experiences that could be out there, you might just enjoy it. So that's a little bit of friendly advice from your boy Earl over here. Game reviews, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and give a review. How are we going to do this? I guess it might change week to week. This week, I'm going to do it on a scale of 1 to 10. I am going to give The Witcher 3 a 9 out of 10. Just one of the best games I've ever played, and I don't want to just jump out there and say 10 out of 10. No, I mean, a perfect game. Off the top of my head, I can't even think of one right now, but you know, there are some, the fact that I had to think about the controller configurations, the fact that I had to think about it took some time to get back into it was probably one of the main negatives. I'm not a huge fan of the controller configurations for The Witcher 3, but I figured it out, and by figuring it out, I was able to complete the game very easily. I loved the fact that they integrated that the card game, Gwent, into that game. That the fact that you could just jump off and play a truly challenging card game within a game was phenomenal, and I loved the challenges that that posed as you walked through the map, finding other people who, you know, other non-player characters, other computer versions of characters that had decks of cards, and you could play them. And the Gwent was a pretty fun game, and the company CD Projekt Red is coming out, or has come out with the game Gwent as a side game, and you can play it. They did tweak some things a little bit. I don't know if I like that game enough to dedicate a lot of time into a full version of that game, but I thought it was phenomenal as a subset of a game, you know, just something to take your mind out of it while you're playing it, and it just played very well. So 9 out of 10 for The Witcher 3. If you have not picked it up, consistently, I've seen that thing go on sale as a complete edition for under $10 to $15, maybe $20. Totally worth it if you want to play a game that's going to take you 50 to 70 hours to beat. It was long as hell. I'm sure if you just focused on the main quest and just tackled the main quest storyline, I'm sure that you know, you could get through it a bit faster. But the problem with that game is there's so many tangents. You just run into somebody and they're like, hey, save my kids in the woods, can you save her? And you're like, okay. And you go to the woods and you save the kid and you get some experience and whatever, and you go back, and then the next person's like, oh, you're a witcher, you can help me with this task, and you do it because it's fun, the game is fun. And next thing you know, you're like, you have done nothing in regards to the main storyline for a good 10 hours. So if you have the time, jump into it. You know, play a little bit of that game and see if you like it. For the price, you can't beat it. Another game I just want to throw out there, it's a destruction type game. It's called Just Cause 3. That game constantly pops up super cheap. They do have like a complete edition. If you want a game that you don't really, it is a long game. It could take many hours to beat, but you can play that game in very short spurts, and it's fun as heck because you can just jump around and blow things up and, you know, take out a base or whatever and then log out. Just Cause 3 has been out for quite some time. That's another for me that's up there. The story was decent for me. I thought it was funny and good, and the ending was solid. So I played that and had a lot of fun with the new things that were integrated for Just Cause 3, like the glider and the jumpsuit, or whatever they call that, the wingsuit, and the grappling hook, which are three very cool things you can do with the physics of that game, like attaching a plane to a tank and watching the physics of that tank pull the plane down and fling it across the map. It's if you haven't played it, it sounds a lot crazier than it is, but it's a lot of fun. So check that out. Be on the lookout for Just Cause 4. On E3, they did announce that game is close to coming out, and I cannot wait because that game can only get better. So a fourth iteration of Just Cause is something I will surely play, and I'm definitely looking for that. Another quick thing, you know, I know a lot of stuff is going on in terms of sports and entertainment. I know the UFC just had a major pay-per-view where we saw Daniel Cormier win the belt, and then you have Jon Jones talking trash on Instagram and Twitter or whatever, looking to get into the mix, and you have Stipe Miocic, who just lost the belt, looking to get a rematch. You got Brock Lesnar coming in the ring and, you know, pulling some entertainment along with it. You know, that was all scripted and planned. One thing I loved about UFC, and I've been watching it since UFC 1 when I was just a little kid, is the realism of it. And so, yeah, it's always fun to have a little bit of this craziness, but at the end of the day, these two individuals are always fighting in the ring. When the cage door closes, it's a fight. And so I guess if they can back it up, you know, in the ring, it's fun to watch. But, you know, we're in the middle of watching two people fight. Brock Lesnar is currently suspended due to steroids. He got accused of steroids. He got convicted of steroids. He's dealing with USADA, which is the organization that, you know, tests these people. And he can't fight for the belt. He has to go through the testing period. And I forget exactly off the top of my head what that is. But if they are going to fight, it's probably going to be December. He has to jump into the pool, the testing pool now. So then you're looking at Daniel Cormier going 6 months, just winning the title. I hate this. I hate seeing champions win a belt and take a vacation. You know, fight to get there and then take some time off. Come on. This is the prime time. When you get a belt, jump in there, fight, and be a fighting champion. You know, seeing Conor McGregor is one of the my favorite fighters to watch, but I'm so sick and tired of his crap. He's not a fighting champion. He's never defended a belt in his career. The second he comes out of retirement or whatever it is he is in right now, craziness world, let's watch. I'll watch. I'll be the first person to watch it. But I don't know if I'm going to root for him if he's not willing to fight, because that's what his job is. And then you see, you know, Brock Lesnar, same thing, but on the other side of the aisle. Guy hardly shows up to work on the WWE. You know, I've watched sporadically here and there. It's hard to keep up with all the storylines and everything going on, but I'm trying, especially since one of my buddies is now a member of the WWE. You'll see him under the name Hansen, the War Raiders. He's a tag team with his buddy Raymond Rowe, and they're in NXT and they're moving on up. And they're definitely a force to be reckoned with. The guy's dedicated. He's been doing it for pretty much all of his life. You know, back in the day, that's what he was known for. It was his wrestling. And he's a big dude, and he's fast. And I have no doubt this guy's going to continue to rise up. And I'm glad to know him. That being said, you know, someone like Todd or Hansen, who's a worker bee, he's a horse when it comes, you know, when it comes to getting in there. He's always there, posting videos online of the matches and everything. The guy's putting his life into it. And then you have Brock Lesnar, who, sure, he's a monster. He's just a big looking dude. But you know, the guy's working what, six shows a year. It's just stupid. It's so pathetic that just because you're a big dude who takes steroids, you know, you don't have to speak. You have someone paid to speak for you. You don't have to do anything. And all these other people, blood, sweat, and tears to get where they're at, have to grind and grind and grind. And then you have this one guy who just doesn't have to. And that's his gimmick, is that he doesn't have to. I say screw that. I say get that guy out of Dodge. Let's have the work-life balance of the other folks grow a little bit. So that we can be entertained, because that's sports entertainment, and that's what we're here for, to watch. I know I'd like it a little bit more if I knew the truth of the story is not that the guy's a jerk who doesn't like to show up to work, who negotiates deals so that he doesn't have to. I'd like to know that the guy that we're cheering for or booing against is doing it because he loves it and is there because he wants us to be entertained, not just the paycheck. I know we're all in it for the money, but you know, come on. Entertainment, entertain us. I don't have any news on sports right now. I have not been keeping up with any sports other than UFC and a little bit of WWE. But you know, as far as some games to look out for, Beat Saber, we talked about that the other day. I'm definitely going to be picking that up as soon as it comes out. That's a pre-order for me once I'm able to. And, you know, again, going into that VR mode, but I'm trying. I want everyone to buy the VR and to play it. I think it's only going to keep getting better, and it will only get better if people adopt it as a standard. So I think Microsoft should jump into that that world to help grow the market, but they're not going to, not anytime soon, it doesn't seem, even though they have alternate reality devices that you can attach to your computer and your phones and stuff. They have not dipped into making the Xbox a virtual reality experience, and I think that's a big loss. So let's see, what else? What else can we talk about here before I segue into my little interview with my kids? Games I'm currently playing. I am currently playing Fortnite just because I don't have a whole lot of time to play anything else. I am jumping into Fortnite, and I do have, I think Detroit Become Human is my next game that I'm going to I'm going to dive into. I do have a couple of other games like Shadow of War, which is the second iteration. There was a game called Shadow of Mordor. It was a phenomenal game. It was a Lord of the Rings game that had a feel of Assassin's Creed. And it's something I definitely will dive into soon. I played a little bit of that game, about 15 minutes of it, maybe 20 minutes, and loved the play style of that game. But it is one that does take some time to get invested into the story and this and that. So I think I'll probably pump out Detroit Become Human over the next week or two, three, and just try to complete that. I do have a ton of games in my virtual reality backlog that they're experiences or short games that only take a few minutes or maybe a few hours to play and beat. So I'll get into that and maybe have some reviews for you. I do have a quick one. There was Thor's Hammer, which is Roller Coaster Dreams 2. It's a 7-minute experience where you're just going down a roller coaster, and it's a huge roller coaster within caverns and caves, and you're in a Greek Norse world or whatever where Thor is, people are chucking things at you, and you know you're dodging them as you're going around the roller coaster loops and this and that. It did not get me too queasy or anything like that. I don't know if it would for others who aren't settled in on the virtual reality experience, but it was a fun little thing. I've been trying to get my wife, Crystal, to jump on and do it. She has no desire to do any of that kind of stuff, but I'll get her on there one of these days. It is fun. It's just, it does give you that feeling that you're on a roller coaster, but, I guess if you have a brain on your shoulders, up in your head, you're not in that roller coaster. So, you're not going to fall. You're not going to get hit by anybody's arrows. And so you can just enjoy it for what it is. And that's what I did. So that was a pretty cool experience. It wasn't anything super special. You don't have to rush out and get it. But if you find it on sale, a couple bucks, it's definitely worth it. And it's one of those great little things you can share with others who come over. So whenever people come over and they want to play the VR, I'm always like, hey, try this, try that. Here's the shark experience, or here's something cool like Batman. I think this is another good one where, hey, throw this on. It's 7 minutes. You're going through a roller coaster, and they can decide if they want to do more VR after that. It'll help test their legs, their VR legs. So that's what I've been playing. Let's see. Already talked about what I'm waiting for. Definitely going to be waiting for Beat Saber. Definitely waiting for No Man's Sky next, and a couple of these other games that are going to be coming out. Just Cause 4. I know some of these are a ways away, but one last one I'm definitely going to talk about here real quick is Tetris Effect. Tetris Effect is the newest version of Tetris coming out, where the creators of Lumens and Rez have put together a Tetris game that is hyper-focused on visual reactions and music. So yes, it's the base Tetris game, but as you play this Tetris game, the things around you, the particles explode, the environment changes, and the audio is, so far from what I've heard, just phenomenal. One of the things I will recommend is that you just go into YouTube and search Tetris Effect song. That's all you need to do. You're going to hear one of the songs from the first level of the new game coming out, and it blows me away. I don't know, I'm not a huge trance electro whatever you call it person, but I put that song on loop for probably 6 straight hours while I did other things, and it just calmed me down. It's phenomenal. So if the game itself is as cool as the song, which the song is in the game, I'm looking forward to it. The awesome aspect of this game is that it's going to have a VR mode. So you're going to be in the Tetris world, inside this headset, immersed in this world where you're playing Tetris, and the things around you, front, behind, up, above, below, everywhere, is all these particles that are reacting to your gameplay. And I can't wait. A lot to look forward to in the future here with VR, with gaming in general. I'm going to wrap up the main stuff I'm talking about today before we segue into this interview with Jagger and Wesley, to point out one last thing. I don't want to talk about Fortnite constantly, but it is the game of the season right now. I mean, everyone's playing it. It's the hottest game ever. And you know, one of the things that happened recently was Nintendo created a version of Fortnite, or Nintendo adopted a version of Fortnite from Epic Games for the Nintendo Switch, which is the handheld version of the console that you can pop over onto your TV. It's their newest iteration of the Nintendo, and everyone was super excited about it. Now, it's not the full game. You do not get to play the Save the World version of Fortnite on the Switch. It's just the Battle Royale mode. But here's the kicker. Battle Royale mode is a game that you pop into, you play a few rounds, it's the same playing field. Every game you play is a new game. You have to pick up every piece of equipment, every piece of wood, you know, to build at the start of every round. So everyone's starting at zero. But the fun part, the fun factor for everybody in Fortnite is the costumes. We kind of touched base on it last week. The costumes, the avatars. Epic Games is making money because people are buying different outfits. They're buying different things. And the outfits aren't supposed to help you win in any way, shape, or form. However, they kind of do. I mean, if you're wearing a giant bright red outfit, you might be easier to spot than if you're wearing a black outfit. So, you know, you get to tailor your outfit based off your game style, based off of what you're looking to do. There's dances. There's, you know, you can do the Carlton Banks dance. So there's all sorts of things you can purchase to make the game fun. And I love this aspect of how Epic is making their money, because you don't have to. You do not have to buy anything. You can play the base characters for free. You can play the game for free. You jump in, you play it, you stop. But people have spent ridiculous amounts of money on this game. And there's a thing called crossplay. If you're not familiar with crossplay, crossplay is the ability to play maybe an Xbox game and also play against people on the PC, like a personal computer, laptop or something. You have people on PlayStation, and you'd want to play with people on the Switch. Well, guess what? PlayStation has stopped that from happening. And it's kind of thrown the world into a tizzy, because the Fortnite, one of the fun things about it is these costumes. And now PlayStation is saying, well, if you've played Fortnite, your Fortnite account on a PlayStation, you can no longer play it on any other system. You have to go get a different account on that system. And you know, one of the other things is it's not just about the costumes, it's about your record. So you can go online and get all the stats of every game you've ever played. You can see how many people you've hit. You can see your win-loss records. And now all of a sudden you can't, because you're playing on a different system. That might seem crazy to some people who say, well, you know, if it's a game on a PlayStation, why should you get to play it? Well, that's the way some of these games are coming out. And PlayStation and the powers that be over there have decided to prohibit it. And it just is a bad look, because a game as powerful and as big as Fortnite, it's come out of the woodworks. It's taken the gaming industry by storm. Other game companies, other games like Call of Duty and Battlefield are now creating battle royale modes into their games. Their games have dominated the market, this same market, for years, since I've been in gaming, and you know, 20 years, these game companies have owned this market, and now this company comes along with this free game, and it's dictating what these other companies are doing. And I think that's phenomenal. I think it's great to see a company that can come along and do that. But it sucks to see the bigger power like Sony come along and say, yeah, but we're going to tell you what you can and can't do over here. It stifles the growth of this market. It stifles the fun you can have. What's the big deal? Are they afraid people are going to leave Sony to go play on other systems? I mean, I guess, but at the same time, they're going to do it anyways. That means these people have bought the system. They're just looking to play it, you know, in the living room as opposed to their bedroom, because that's what the Switch gives them the power to do. Now, Sony, go ahead and make a better version of the Vita. The Vita was cool. It was powerful for its day, but you didn't have click buttons on the left stick and the right stick didn't click like it should have. You didn't have an R1 and an R2 and an L1 and an L2. You had these back buttons that just didn't work out. You know, go do your thing right, but while you're trying to figure it out, let us do our thing. And that's my big, you know, my big problem with how that's all played out. So, you know, I just wanted to talk about it, give people a, you know, a heads up if you've heard about that situation. You know, right now, Sony and, Microsoft and Nintendo and the PC market, they're working together. They're playing together. You know, you can even play Fortnite on your cell phone. I don't know how good you could be on your cell phone, but it's possible. And then you got PlayStation players can only play with PlayStation players or PC players. And it's, you know, it's just really annoying. So if I want to play with my Xbox friends, I got to jump on the PC, and I can play from the PC with my Xbox friends and my Switch friends, but I can't do it directly from my PlayStation 4. It's just stupid. And, you know, fix it. That's all I'm saying, is that we should not back down. We should not stop arguing about that. I think it's something that Sony should tuck their tail and run and fix it, and allow crossplay on some of these games like Rocket League and other games where the esport genre is really starting to take a big jump. Don't stifle that growth of that esport market, because this is a huge future. That being said, I appreciate everyone for listening. I'm going to go ahead and segue off into my interview with Wesley and Jagger about Roblox. It's a game that kids like to play. It is probably pretty addictive. I have not sat down in front of that thing for more than a few minutes to understand more, so I wanted to get their perspective. It's just a little silly thing to fill some time while Joe recovers. And you know, if you've made it this far through my podcast, I appreciate it. Look forward to podcasting some more. And you know, thanks again. One thing I do want to talk about before we wrap up is the music. At the beginning and end of my show, you will hear some music. It's a nice, cool 8-bit music. That song is called Break a Leg. It's created by the artist known as Rocco W. That's R-O-C-C-O-W. You can find Rocco on freemusicarchive.org/music/RoccoW. Check him out, because the song I used is one of many. This guy has made music on Game Boys, and he just he's utilized the audio from a Game Boy to make some pretty amazing stuff. And that's how I found him, was just seeking 8-bit music for the podcast, and ended up spending a long time on this guy's Free Music Archive channel. Ended up jumping over to his Twitter, which is twitter.com/RoccoW. And the guy's, you know, he's not from America. I don't know if he speaks English. I'm assuming he does. But, you know, I sent him a message, just said thanks. And, yeah, check him out. I'm sure many podcasts have utilized this guy's music. Hopefully mine becomes big enough to actually give him a little bump somewhere along the way. You know, it's worth your time to check this guy out. He's cool. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one and enjoy the interview. Alrighty, well, I'm here with my two sons. This is Jagger and Wesley. Jagger's 7 years old and Wesley is 3. They've been both playing video games for quite some time. Jagger, as a 7-year-old boy, has been playing video games for 7 years. Wesley, on the other hand, we started him off a little bit later, trying to change things up a little bit. So Wesley's only been playing video games for about a year, maybe a little bit over that. But, you know, so I have them here. I just want to throw them on the podcast today so that we can get a little perspective that many parents aren't necessarily interested in or aren't asking these questions. To start, Jagger, if you could come over here and just give us a little bit of information about yourself. Tell us about yourself. What are you? What grade are you going into?
Second.
Really? And did you enjoy first grade?
Yes.
So when it comes to going to school, do you like going to school so that you can't play video games?
No.
No? Do you miss video games while you're at school?
Yes.
What's more important, school or video games?
School.
Excellent, excellent. And Wesley. So, Wesley, you don't go to school yet. You get to stay home with Daddy.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what games you like to play?
Bad Piggies.
Bad Piggies.
Yep.
And what do you like about Bad Piggies?
Exploding,
You like to explode the bad piggies?
No, I like to explode little piggies.
The little piggies? All right, well, excellent. Jagger, so the reason I wanted to get you two on here was I wanted to give parents an idea of what Roblox is. A lot of parents hear what Roblox is, but they have no clue. They don't know what it is and why kids care about it so much. Could you tell people what Roblox is?
Sure. Roblox is a complete multiplayer game that everybody loves because it has so many experiences you can try.
So when you say there's so many experiences, what types of experiences? Are you saying that there's games within a game?
There's so many games in just one game.
So Roblox is a world where you get to pick your own character and then you go explore other games and worlds as that character. Is that correct?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
So you can change your avatar.
And what is your avatar? Is that what you look like?
Yeah, that's what you look like in Roblox.
And tell everybody what the new avatars look like for, like, new players. What are they called?
When you first join, it picks for you. Then you can just go into the catalog and buy free stuff if you don't have any Robux.
Okay.
You have to buy Robux in real life.
Yeah, and that costs real money.
Yep.
So, parents, one thing to note is a kid will come and tell you, hey, I want to get some Robux. That means dollar bills going into Roblox. Roblox is a free game that has free games within it, and these kids don't understand that they can destroy your wallet if you aren't careful. So just that's something very important to note. And what they can buy with those Robux are things like outfits, avatars. And if you're not familiar with what an avatar is, what Jagger was just saying is avatars are like the way your character looks.
Because you can just get some Robux in.
Yeah, you can just get some Robux, but you have to use real money to get Robux.
Because you have to Christian has a tablet.
Christian has a tablet. Yep, you can play Roblox on the computer, and you can play Roblox on the tablet.
And you can feed King Piggy.
You can feed who?
King Piggy.
King Piggy. Oh, well, that's from the Bad Piggy. You're mixing games here, Wesley.
Because we can feed King Piggy.
You can defeat King Piggy?
No, we can feed.
Oh, you can feed him?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, we really can feed him.
Well, so, Jagger, what other things can you buy with Robux?
You can buy some things that can hang from your arm.
Okay, so like shoulder pads or
You can buy shoulder pads and also stuff like birds on your...
Oh, you can put a bird on your arm?
Yeah, but it costs Robux.
Yep. And can you buy different swords and shields and things like that?
Well, some are free.
Okay.
But, like, they're usually in games from Roblox.
Okay, so the point is, you do not need to spend money on Roblox to play Roblox, but kids want to buy these things because they look cool in the game. Now, parents, one thing to note, when you look at this game, you're going to laugh because the game looks worse than a regular Nintendo. Just like Minecraft, you might have heard of Minecraft, Roblox is a fully modern-day retro-style game. All the characters are blocky, very, very blocky. We call that pixelation or pixelated-looking characters.
They look like Lego characters.
Yeah, they look kind of like Legos. They're square.
Because we went to Legoland.
We did go to Legoland.
The floor, sometimes I see the floor that looks like Legos. Because I just played all of the games on, Roblox? No, on PlayStation.
Yep, you do like to play games on PlayStation. We'll get into that another time. But before we go, Jagger, just give us, let me ask you, just tell our audience why you like to play Roblox, what your favorite things to do in Roblox are, and, and let us finish up so that the parents out there can understand a little bit more about what this is and why kids love it.
Okay, so here's the thing why I love it. You can edit your avatar, which can look very cool. And also, there's pretty cool games out there.
Like, what's your favorite game?
Mining Simulator.
Ooh, Mining Simulator. And what can you do in Mining Simulator?
You can mine. You have to buy it with coins, but it doesn't cost Robux.
Like, not real coins.
Yeah, in the game coins.
Kind of like Mario coins. You collect them in the game?
Yeah.
And what can you buy with those coins?
Some new tools. There's also some awesome tools like ray guns.
Ray guns? So you can mine with ray guns?
Yep.
All right. Well, we've taken a lot of time. I want to just say thank you, Wesley.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Jagger.
You're welcome.
And we'll periodically have Jagger and Wesley pop in from time to time.